Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Markets. Just for you, digital app, earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. I mean, I guess I teased it, so I might as well lead with it because I had it for later in the midst of our conversation as a transitional thing. I was going to ask you what on earth fly switching is because you referenced it after the game here on Wednesday.
That was, yeah, I realized about, you know, sometimes when you're talking after a game, you realize, like, that's probably just too much information. So I said, the fly switch is when we're sending someone to set the pick and roll because we have the defender we want on them, and then the other team switches the guy, switches who's guarding him on the fly. So we call that fly switching. I don't know if everybody calls it that, but a lot of teams do that. I think, you know, you can, especially when you see Draymond and Golden State, you can see him, like, pointing at who's going to go up as Golden State or Cleveland the last few years in the finals has tried to bring Curry up to the pick and roll. Yeah. Draymond has been kind of directing who goes up with him.
Miami do that a lot? Is there
everybody does
yeah,
it.
Everybody's doing it.
Everybody does it. It became pretty popular, at least that when I first was here, in trying to defend Dirk.
Right.
And then, you know, they just figured out the counter, and then nobody could defend Dirk. And, you know, it was just a waste of time by the third time doing it.
All right, Wednesday night was pretty special in here. We could talk about Kyrie doing Kyrie stuff. We can talk about Al's season high. Aaron Baines made big plays and big shot. Marcus Smart did Marcus Smart things all night. In the old days in the game shows, they used to say, I'll go off the board. Okay, I'm going to go off the board to this guy that Max and I singled out as a huge part of turning that game around. And when Terry Rozier has had a rough year this year, we've kind of called him on it. I thought he was integral to what happened on Wednesday.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, from my perspective, you know, Terry has given everything he has to have a great year. And, you know, it's just a different position for him. It's just hard. Like, it's just a hard position that he's been in, and he has met that with a great mindset, a great work ethic as usual. And so it's good to see, like, a game that's not going our way, he just turns. He turns that thing our way. He picks up the ball. He pressures full court. He gets the driving layup. He hits the big three. But it's all the other stuff other than the scoring that I thought really stood out the other night. And, yeah, you know, I'm really happy for him. I mean, I'm hopeful that he can string together a bunch of games like that in a row. He's had moments this year where he's been able to do that for, you know, games and weeks. And now it's just about can we do that the rest of the year? And I think he'll play great when he's picking up and when he's doing those things.
It was almost as if the specific things we were talking about before the game happened in terms of the Raptors made their run. They were a great team. They were going to make it. But you made plays within the context of those runs that prevented some of the things we've seen lately.
Well, I mean, and that's the deal, right? Right. We've got to be able to answer if you want to be a good team. And, you know, we have been a good team at times, especially when things have been going well. But we haven't been as good when other teams take us out of what they want or go on a run or whatever the case may be. And, you know, even I watched the Memphis game earlier today from earlier this year. That second quarter spurt was almost enough not to be able to overcome.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to be better in those moments and eliminate those spurts. We did way better the other day. They are a tough team. You knew they were going to come back. You knew they were probably, you know, it was going to probably be nip and tuck at the end. And then Kyrie was incredible in the last 3 minutes of the game.
The Raptors showed their resilience the way they won that game last night. All right, for every –
They sure did, by the way.
Yeah,
they
no,
sure
I mean, that is kind of – within the context of a game, big picture, that's kind of what we're talking about, is bouncing back from an emotional loss and then winning the way that they won last night.
That's the difference, too. And, you know, that's the difference between a great season you know, everybody else being good or mediocre. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough to be on the other side of those regular seasons the last couple of years, and we have not been as good this year.
For every sentence that Kyrie speaks after a game, it seems there is an hour of conversation about it. Do you like, not like, not care, not pay attention to his somewhat, I mean, almost mystical is the wrong word, but almost these sort of long conversations he's having now with the media post-game, in which, in my, and I'll start with my view, which is that he's trying his best to lead. Is he going about it in a way you're happy with?
Listen, I want our guys to be honest. I want them to feel like they can speak and be authentic in that. And, you know, he has at different times shared his feelings. And, you know, ultimately I'm a lot more concerned with how we're playing than, you know, anything else that's going on right now. And so I think that obviously people want, you know, people be willing to talk in front of the media. They want to have their questions answered. And, you know, whatever our guys choose to say, you know, obviously I think it's always good when it comes from a place of good intention.
You referenced the Memphis game earlier. It's a Luka Doncic world among the rookies and among 19-year-olds, I suppose. But when you watch Jaren Jackson, at least when I do, it makes me realize I'm old enough to remember when that first influx of 18- and 19-year-olds, the evolution, when they first came in, the evolution of their basketball IQ, readiness to play in the NBA, is really stunning to me. And that's what I think of when I watch Jaren Jackson.
No doubt. You know, it probably helps. Dad was a great player, yep. Played at Georgetown and then played in the NBA as well. So he's grown up understanding the game at a high level, understanding what he needs to do to be best that he can be, and played for a great coach in college, played at a couple of good schools in high school in Indiana, and, you know, ultimately he's a very polished 19-year-old, that's for sure.
They're not winning, obviously, right now. They're struggling, but the injuries that they have had, the one thing it is doing, it's kind of making them bigger. You watch them the last couple of games, and JaMychal Green has almost exclusively been a post presence. They've sort of been playing him at the three and playing kind of a big lineup, which can cause some problems.
No, it's a problem. It is a problem. He is a big, strong guy. He's a rebounder. These guys have embraced the identity of playing big and physical, and anytime they need a basket, it's Cross Green to post and or Conley, some sort of Conley-Gasol pick and roll, handoff, or handback. And I think that those two options are good options because usually they have a physical advantage at one of the positions in the post, if not both, depending on the game. And then, you know, the Conley-Gasol pick and roll is just nasty. And those are the things that you got to get ready for to have a chance to beat a team like this. And hopefully you don't get so spread out that you give up all the rebounds to their big physical guys.
So did you make up the term fly switching? Is that what we've decided, or you just kind of heard it somewhere?
That's the way I described it to our staff, and they gave me the same look that you must have been giving me through the through this headset that we're both on. So, maybe I did. Maybe I'm the one that came up with that. Trademark that?
No, that's what I'm saying. I go with it. Who cares if people understand what you're
doing? I'm sure somebody somewhere has said that before, mm-hmm. But that's what I thought when I saw it. They switch on the fly. So it
makes sense.
Fly switch.
It'll be on a T-shirt before you know it.
There you go.
Celtics and Grizzlies next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot. Hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it. Wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel. More duct tape, a hammer. This random tool I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.